Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. It's Cody, Gotham's Caped Crusader, and we're keeping it geekly. Yes, this is your number one stop for all things geek culture, from video games to comic books and so much more. And man, oh man, am I excited, because not only do we have some heavy-hitting news, but we have some fresh DC comics right off the press. So without further hesitation, let's dive right in and let's check out what's going on in the world of geek. First things first, the biggest thing buzzing around the news today is the new Zelda and Loftwing amiibo figure is going to be shipping along with The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword HD on July 16th. So the amiibo itself is beautiful and really well crafted. That's not the issue. The problem lies in the quality of life feature that this amiibo is going to offer with a paid purchase. It's going to allow players to instantly transfer between surface and sky. It was really tedious to have to transfer between surface and sky, and now this amiibo is going to let you do it instantaneously with the click of a button, even when you're in a dungeon, and you're not going to be able to do that without it. So essentially, if you run out of anything while you're exploring, you could return back to the bazaar in Skyloft to replenish your supplies. If you don't have this amiibo, you're not going to be able to do that. Another thing to consider is scalpers. There's bots now that are going to buy these amiibos up and inflate the price. And with this ability that is now paylocked, it's going to probably be unreasonable. Now, users of all sorts have flocked to the social media platforms to voice their concerns. I, for one, think this is kind of a bullshit move. I do enjoy the look of the amiibo, but I think to paylock that ability is just a money grab. It's unreal. I mean, Nintendo has been notorious for doing some rather questionable moves. Now, Nintendo, let's keep it real. You've already milked us dry with this game as it stands. To paylock this ability behind a freaking amiibo is just unreal. Something else that really, I thought, kind of just threw me for a loop was Dave Bautista reportedly turned down a Fast and the Furious pitch for a Gears of War movie. So it would appear that in an interview with Collider, Bautista says he turned down an offer from Universal and instead opted to promote a Gears of War adaptation. I, for one, think Dave Bautista would be a phenomenal Marcus Fenix. Bautista said, "I don't want to make any pretense about it. I had a chance to get a meeting at WB. They were talking to me about this and that. And I said, hey, let's talk about Bane. That happened to me one other time in my career. They wanted to talk to me about Fast and the Furious. And I said, I'm not interested. Let's talk about Gears of War character Marcus Fenix." And I mean, dude, it just would be unreal to see him fulfill that role. Now, the Gears of War movie has suffered in development limbo since 2007, and Dave Bautista has lobbied for this movie so hard that Gears of War 5 has added him as a playable multiplayer character. And there's pretty much no sign of life for this movie, but it is a big thing nonetheless for Dave Bautista to turn down this role in order to pitch the movie. Once again, I do have to reintegrate. I think Dave Bautista would be phenomenal as Marcus Fenix. And speaking of movies, this leads us to our last topic of this week in Geek. It looks like the Batman has presented a new Riddler and fans are flipping out over the design. Now, this one is pretty hot off the press. As of yesterday, it looked like Miguel Varela dropped cover and promo art for the Batman, the official movie, and with the calendar slated for 2022. Now, let's take a moment and we can go ahead and look at those images a little bit closer. Now, this, for one, I think is an awesome shot of Robert Pattinson. And cladded in the Batman armor, he looks fucking awesome. I think he really is striking a menacing pose here. This 12-month calendar is showcasing a lot of crucial pictures. Not only the Batman, but we get to see the brand new take on the Batmobile, as well as Selina Kyle and a Zodiac Killer heavy-vibed Riddler. Matt Reeves is taking his vision of Batman and Gotham and just straight running to the moon with it, and it is phenomenal. Now, with the many takes on the Riddler, most notably Jim Carrey's, this one has given me the most insane and menacing vibe. On the other side of things, though, we see people comparing this new look to a Doctor Doom type cosplay in a gimp suit. Only time will really tell how this movie pans out. I, for one, think Matt Reeves is going to kill it. I think the Riddler is going to be an insane antagonist. And I think this Batman movie is going to be the redemption that we need within the DC universe. Now, with that being said, guys, that does wrap up this week in Geek. But stay tuned, we got those fresh polls coming right out the oven. Now, first things first, we're going to be taking it with The Flash 770, written by Jeremy Adams, with art being done by Jack Herbert, Brandon Peterson, and Kevin McGuire. Now, this issue begins with Blink of an Eye, Chapter 3, and it's a very, very interesting panel. We see Jay Garrick and Happy Terrell meeting with the President of the United States, and he asked them one simple question, if they want to end the war. We see the pair enter Legazpi, Philippines, with Rey being kept a secret by the president for quite some time now. Their mission is to retrieve the Spear of Destiny, with the wielder essentially being able to control the world. But Rey doesn't believe that. He doesn't believe in any of that nonsense at all. His only sole reasoning to get it is so that Hitler isn't able to get his hands on it. Now this leads us to the Kazagoa ruins, to a secret entrance within the catacombs, but something doesn't feel right in the air as they stumble into an ambush. And this is when we find Otto Frenz, aka Parsifal, whose power is to negate other super abilities. So basically, whenever a superhero is within his range, they lose their abilities and they are thus then helpless. And we see this happen with Jay Garrick and the Rey as they are left there without any help at all. They're quickly begged and kidnapped to be given to Hitler as war weapons. And this is where things get really interesting. We see them held captive on this boat, and they are essentially tormented and beaten for 5 weeks straight, with Jay Garrick, I believe, dying, and the Speed Force injecting someone else into his body. On the other side of things, though, we see Hitler being given the Spear of Destiny, and this enables him to transfer into the Übermenschhof. I don't even know if I pronounced that right, but it's insane to see the super-powered Hitler, and things are going to get explosive. Now, without the pair being able to use their super abilities, things are not looking very bright for them or the rest of the world. And Hitler is turning into a just straight up monster at this point. Now, this is going to give us a nice transition into Justice League issue 61 being written by Brian Michael Bendis, with art being done by David Marquez. Now, Prism's part 3 begins with Brutus, who's an interdimensional invasion threat, on retreat from the Justice League. And he's conversing with his sidekick McMurph about what's going on and why they need to capture Earth. The planet that they stand on right now is war ravaged, and everything they need and more is on Earth, and it's just a perfect sanctuary for them. McMurph at this point notices a Glazurus surge which followed Brutus, and they are led to believe that something big is coming. And this takes us to the Black Canary, who ends up separated from the Justice League. She's pretty wounded, it appears, and she then is quickly surrounded by what appears to be scavengers of this planet. Now, while she fights off that group with her supersonic scream, we see Batman overlooking Naomi getting overtaken as well. He then comes to her rescue, and it's at this point we see Naomi not feeling quite herself. It looks like her hands are, I think, turning invisible at this point, or losing their ability. And then we come to find out that this planet has some weird effects on the heroes with super abilities. Now they hear Black Canary's supersonic scream, but it's at this point they look up and see Superman, and he is just going insane. He's in the air, he's covering his eyes, and he's just spiraling out of control. Apparently he can't control his heat vision. Batman offers him a suggestion just to focus his eyesight, and this gives him enough time to focus to see Brutus following up with a uppercut. And Brutus is pretty excited because he was looking to have to take out the Justice League anyways, so why not do it on his home planet, which is only going to boost his powers. Now we begin to see the rest of the Justice League start to wake up, and this time it brings us to Green Arrow, and he is, for lack of better words, captured by the scavengers with them messing with his bow. One of them goes to draw the bow to take off Oliver's head, and he tells him, hey, you might not want to do that. You don't want to like let go. It looks like the bow has a fingerprint technology implanted in it that pretty much shocks anyone that's not using it, that's not Green Arrow. Aquaman, on the other hand, when he wakes up, is in total disarray, talking about death before he's knocked out and dragged off into the darkness. Now we see Brutus just completely demolishing Superman, but not for long as Black Adam steps in. With a huge bang of lightning, we see the rest of the Justice League, minus Aquaman, who can't be found at this moment, make their way to a downed and destroyed Superman and Black Adam. So things are not looking very good for the Justice League as they go head to head with Brutus. Now I am excited to see what the Justice League has up their sleeve going up against Brutus, missing Aquaman, and with Black Adam and Superman down for the count. Things aren't looking good for them, and their abilities aren't functioning the way they should. Now this leads us to our last but final issue. I saved the best for last. We have Nightwing issue number 80, written by Tom Taylor, with art being done by Bruno Redondo. We see Dick Grayson lying in bed, second-guessing his three-legged friend, as his dog is just going bazonkers at the door, barking and going crazy. But then we hear a very loud knock, and it's the police, and they are looking for Dick himself. So the police are here to question Dick about not only his missing wallet, but Martin Holt, the homeless man that he brought a room for, because Martin never checked in. He was found murdered with his heart missing. This is when Dick asks about Elliot, but the police never knew that Martin even had a son, which makes their suspicions rise even more. And it's at this point we see Dick call Barbara Gordon, because he needs an alibi, and she's the one who's going to be able to give it the best. Now we see Barbara enter the scene, and it is a very, very awesome interaction. As the detectives keep digging deeper and deeper, Barbara, of course, has a law degree, and she quickly shuts them down. Now with the detectives out of the way, we see Barbara and Dick on the search for Elliot, and he's going to need a friend. So he gives his good friend Tim Drake a call, and we see them swinging off into the night. This then brings them to the apartment where Tim is going to have to go undercover as a homeless boy himself, walking the three-legged dog to help make him very much more approachable. Now, when they're deep into the thick of it, they are able to locate Elliot, but Elliot doesn't want to leave. He feels safe here because he's surrounded by other kids who have also lost their parents. They've all been murdered, and they're all missing their hearts. Now, things are about to get spicy as we see Brutal and Electrocutionator enter the scene. They're here to get their cut of Blockbuster's money because someone in this homeless camp was stealing, and any crime committed in this area, you know, Blockbuster gets a cut of that. And regardless if they're homeless or not, it doesn't matter because Blockbuster is not going to be made to look weak. That's when we see a dynamic duel appear on the scene. It's Tim Drake and Nightwing, and they are taking on these two head to head. And it is such a work of art as we see them just gracefully deflect everything in sight and take these two down brutally. But something happens off in the distance. There's a huge fire and these two didn't start it. And that's when we see Nightwing and Heartless come face to face. Now, like I said, this is a heavy hitting issue, and I cannot wait for issue 81. Nightwing versus Heartless is gonna be unreal. With that being said, guys, that does wrap up our comics for this week. I was so excited to be able to get a chance to read some DC comics. Be sure to leave a comment down below letting me know which was your favorite. You guys can catch me on all of my social media platforms at Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and so much more at Job for a Cody. And as always, guys, keep it geekly.